All right, this is the third episode of the Beat the Books podcast for tennis. We just had an absolute sweat on Jerry plus 4 or 3.5, whatever you got it at. Probably more of you guys got a plus 3.5 because I know mainstream books like DraftKings and FanDuel really don't offer push plays like that. He went up a break, I think 4-3 in the second set or third set. We thought it was an easy cash there. Then he got broken back after not shuttling on the serve at all. Then he got pushed to 30 all at 5-5. And if he got broken there, we probably would have... I would have pushed my bet. You guys would have lost it. But he held and then he broke immediately after and cashed a bet for us. So that was a fun sweat for all of us in the chat. We were all sweating pretty hard. A couple of you guys got a couple good hits on Jerry to break on a couple of those plays. And then we had Stricker Moneyline parlayed, and he was up a break in the first set, lost it, and then dominated the second set. And then it was really weird in the third set. He had 3 break points in the first game of the third set. And after he didn't break, it looks like he just completely gave up. I think what it is he's getting a lucky loser into the main draw of the French Open. So usually if you know you're getting a lucky loser, you will pretty much just tank it because you get a much worse opponent if you are a lucky loser most of the time than getting into the draw as a qualifier. Because qualifiers usually play a seeded opponent sometimes, or very close to a seeded player. So I think we lost that bet because of that. And then Jerry Shang completely sold us today. Dominated the first set, broke Olivo 3 times. And then the second set, Shang got broken 3 times. Had 3 break points to at least win 3 games in the second set, which would have helped us a lot. Then they broke each other 5 times in a row. Shang finally held, and we needed one more break. Shang was up 30 love and lost 4 points in a row to lose our spread. So a small loss on today's card, but nonetheless, we're still up about 10.5 units this week, so we are having a very fun week. But now we can go over the rest of today's slate and just kind of recap it a little bit. First match, we got Pedro Martinez versus Bagnus. Bagnus dominated the first set, winning. He only lost 4 points on his serve in the first set. Absolutely dominated Martinez's serve. He won... let me see here. He won a total of 58% of return points, which is a very high number. Usually it's around like 40-35%. And then he went up a break in the second set, got broken back, had 2 match points on return, didn't capitalize, got broken immediately after, went to a third set, and then he lost 6-0 in the third set. So a brutal loss for Bagnus to not make the French Open main draw, had match points, and was up a break. Brutal, brutal L if you had his money line at all. And then we got Zepperi versus Silva. This is his second year in a row qualifying for the French Open. Just dominated Silva today. Didn't get broken the entire match. Won the first set 6-4. And then just smoked him in the second set 6-1. Wasn't a very close match at all. Not too surprised there. Silva, not that great. We already went over Shang. He is into the main draw as well. Very happy for him. Barely 18 years old. Has a stellar forehand. Gets a little too impatient sometimes. His backhand was horrid today, though. And then we got Albots versus Hugo Carabelli. Albots was up a break in the second, or in the first set, went down a break, and then went up a break at 6-5, had a set point, got broken back, lost that set, and then he kind of just took over in the second set, was really never under pressure there. And then the third set, he just ran away with it, won 6-1. Hugo has a pretty weak mental, so that's kind of a big thing to take into account in these Grand Slam qualifiers. These people with weak mental kind of throw their matches away because they feel so much pressure winning the biggest match of their career, getting into a Grand Slam main draw, which is a very, like, everyone's dream in tennis. And then we got Tabulo versus Vasasori. Tabulo was up a break in the first set, got broken back twice, lost that. And then he also has a very weak mental, just got dominated in the second set, lost in straights. Pretty unfortunate for a what we thought was going to be a main draw or a ATP Tour mainstay, but he is just absolutely horrid if he's not at home. And what's the tournament he always wins? Or not always wins, but has a good tournament. Santiago, I think, in Chile, where he's from. And then we got Medvedev versus Dejong. Dejong won the first set 6-0. I wasn't very surprised there. Well, 6-0 is always a surprise, but I wasn't surprised to see him winning just because, like I said on the podcast yesterday, Medved was just very physically just drained in his match against Cirundolo. Had an MTO or a medical timeout on his knee, I believe, in the third set. Just looked gassed. He's played so much tennis in the last month. Just won a tournament before coming here. So I wasn't too surprised there. But then he bounced back, won second set, 6-2. And then just ran away with that momentum. Won 6-2 again in the third set. Very happy for the young Serbian. He's a very fun character to watch on court. Some people say he's the Serbian Nick Kyrgios, and if you guys watch tennis, everyone knows Nick Kyrgios is a funny character on court, has a big serve, big forehand. He's very, Medvedev is a very fun watch. Now this one I'm very happy for. Poi into the main draw of the French Open showed a lot of emotion after the match today. Started crying on court. I don't know how many of you guys actually have watched tennis for a long time, but Poi was a very, very good player. Let me go see what his highest ranking was. His entire career was just ruined by injuries. His highest ranking in the world was number 10 in 2018. Was a very promising star coming out of the French organization. He's only, I think, maybe 29 now or something like that. Still young, but injury, he just cannot stay healthy. I'm pretty sure he took an MTO today. I absolutely hate to see it, but he lost the first set 6-1, won the second set 7-5. Was a real battle. No one really dominated on the serve. It was just a really gritty second set. And then Poi just absolutely ran away with it in the third, won 6-0. Pretty sure he won 6-0 in the third set yesterday as well. But I don't really see him doing much in the main draw, to be honest. I don't know who he plays first. Let me see if I can find that for you guys. I don't see him being too effective there. He's just still just a... He's just too fragile on court. If he gets pushed around a lot, which Zhang was doing to him yesterday, but then I'm pretty sure Zhang got injured, so can't really do anything about that. I don't see who he plays. There's just be ready for a long podcast on Sunday probably Sunday. We're gonna have lots and lots of matches to go over. I'm trying to find... Why can you not look up a player's name on the site? Maybe he just doesn't have a match yet. I haven't looked over the main draw of the French Open yet. I'm trying to... I thought you could look up names on this site, but I guess not. Whatever. I guess we'll be talking about him in a couple days anyway. But that's all for the French Open recap. We are done. Well, we got one more day of French Open qualifiers tomorrow. We'll be talking about that here in a minute. Then we got Geneva. Taylor Fritz dominating Avashka. 6-1, 6-2. Didn't face a single break point. Lost 0 points in the serve in the second set. 16 for 16. Beautiful performance from Taylor Fritz. And then we got a gritty win out of Grigor Dimitrov over Christopher O'Connell. Kind of sold the first set. He had 3 break points up 40 love on O'Connell's serve. Didn't break. And it ended up losing the tiebreaker. And then he went down a break in the second set. Broke him back twice. Won 7-5. And then he kind of just... I can't say he dominated the second set or third set. He went up a break, got broken back, then faced 2 break points, held, and then immediately broke O'Connell. And then just served it out from there. Good win for Dimitrov. Zverev and Wu only played 5 games before Wu eventually retired. I'm not sure what was wrong with Wu. I did not watch that match. But I'm sure it wasn't anything good. I know he usually deals with like back problems and... I forget what his other injury is that kind of delayed his career. But I know he usually deals with some back problems. Hopefully it's nothing too bad where he can't play in Roland Garros. Then we got... Well, we already talked about this match. We got Jack Draper versus Cirundolo. Jack Draper was up a set and a break. Was kind of dominating in the second set. The first game of the second set, he was up 40 love, 3 break points, and then also had one at deuce. Well, got advantage, had 4 break points, didn't break. Then he also had 3 more break points. The serve after that didn't break. Then he eventually broke him, and then got broken back, and then broke him back again to get to a third set. And he's a very fragile player. Can't play for very long. Kind of gassed out there in the third set. Cam Norrie versus Sebastian Baez. Norrie won this first set 6-2. Kind of just a smoke show in the first set. Norrie didn't face a single break point. Baez immediately bounced back, won the second set 6-2. And then Norrie dominated in the third set. Won 6-1, didn't face a break point when it lost 4 points in serve. Very bad beat for Baez backers that had plus, I think his line was plus 3.5. Only had to win 3 games in the second set or third set, and he lost it 6-1. Brutal there. Then we got Brandon Nakashima versus Tommy Paul. I love when we go over American matches because their names are so much easier to say. Tommy Paul. Just had one bad game there in the first set. Couldn't challenge Nakashima's serve at all. And then he went down a double break in the second set. He broke him back twice. Nakashima had 3 match points on the serve to win the match. Got broken. But he kept his mental strong, which is kind of surprising to me. Still won a tiebreaker right after that. Weird to see when someone fights super hard and still loses a tiebreaker. And then FAA withdrew from Lyon against Arthur Fils with a shoulder injury. I hope it's nothing too bad where he had a good performance there in Roland Garros last year. Having so play, he took Rafa Nadal to his absolute limits. Now let's go over, we only got, I think, 12 matches to go over, so it won't take too long there. Let me go to qualifiers. We got Caboli versus Lacoli. McCauley is a plus 140 underdog. Caboli is minus 170. Lacoli is a French player, not too great on clay. He's solid, but not great. I hope he wins. He showed lots of emotion after he won against Watanuki. Dropped to his knees like he won a freaking Grand Slam. Caboli is a very solid Italian prospect. Had a pretty good season last year. If I had to take a bet here, it's probably the over, just because I could see like Lacoli losing the first set and end up fighting. I either just go the over or the Lacoli money line at plus 140. I really want to trust Caboli as a pretty solid favorite. He doesn't have the strongest mental in the world, so we could see him maybe collapse tomorrow. Could see a spot there where he's up a set, maybe up a set and a break. Can fade him live. And then we got Offner versus Diaz Acosta. What's the line there? Offner is a plus 130 underdog. Let me go look at this match. Acosta is a left-handed player. I'm not sure what Offner's record is against lefties. Offner has been starting slow. He lost the first set in both of his, or he went down a break in the first set against Noguchi. Lost the first set pretty badly in the first set against Chwinski. Diaz has won in straights in all his matches so far. Won 7-5, 6-3, and 7-5, 7-5. Maybe the overs there, just because a lot of overs happen in these matches because players can't close it out and then ends up going to a third set. Let me go look at Offner's record against lefties. That's usually like one of the only important stats to look at is when a righty plays a lefty or vice versa, because some lefties are very good against righties, which that's what they usually play. But some people are very bad against lefties. Let me see what he is. Offner in the last 50... Come on, computer. You can do it. In the last 52 weeks, Offner is 26-19 against lefties. Better than his righties record. So, that's a very... usually, people struggle against lefties. So, in his career, on tour level, I don't know if that can't be ATP. I'm not sure what that means. He's 2-1. Let me look at some of these wins against lefties, if there are anything special. He beat Hugo Gaston, lost to Dominic Stricker, beat... his wins aren't great. So can't really take those into a big account. I think I'll just lean overs there. Don't want to trust Diaz as a pretty heavy favorite at minus 155. Then we got Hongsman versus Emer. I don't think that match is very bettable. Hongsman is minus 425 on the money line. Emer is plus 335. The head-to-head is 3-1. All on clay. Hongsman last year beat Emer 6-3, 6-4. But that's in a bit of altitude. Emer won in 2021. And then Hongsman won in straights like 3-4 years ago. Hongsman is in a very good run right now, great form. So if I had to make a bet, it's probably just Hongsman as like a parlay piece with someone that's like minus 200 or something. Or maybe 2-0. No, his 2-0 is minus 145. That's just too juice for me. I think someone that sometimes has a weak mental. I hope he keeps playing great. He's a fun watch. His kick serve is probably top 5 on tour. Very, very good. And then we got Karatsev versus Marino D. Alborin. I think that's how you say it. Karatsev, when he's on it, he's a very good player, but he's kind of just out of it. He's having a good clay season so far, 12-4. He's been struggling. He won his first match 7-6, 7-6. Not too great against Herbert. That is not great on clay. Then he won 7-5, 6-3 against Hart. I'm pretty sure Reno Diaboran won a pretty physical match. The line there is Karatsev is minus 260. Marino is plus 205. I mean, with the way both their matches have been going, it might just be overs. I keep seeing overs for every match, but it's kind of usually the strategy for these last round qualifying matches for Grand Slams. And this is one match I kind of love, is Kupfer versus Sabuth Wild. I'm not too sure why Sabuth Wild is a plus 145 dog. He was a very, very good prospect coming in, but had domestic abuse allegations from his girlfriend, had to deal with that stuff, kind of ruined his start of his career. He's probably the most impressive player I've watched so far this qualifiers, but Kupfer is a lefty, so I need to see what Sabuth's Wild record is against lefties. There we are. His record against lefties in the last 52 weeks is 14-12. Not too bad there. Usually see like 30-40% from people when they play lefties, because it's just a whole different ball game there. I will definitely be on Wild money line for probably half a unit. I'm going to be very light on plays for the next couple of days. Win like 0.8 units there if it wins. That's good enough for me. Don't want to risk a whole unit there, but I think that line's a little off. But Kupfer is also on he's 24-4 in the season, so having a great season right now. So I understand the line a little bit. And then we got Andreev versus Oliveira. Andreev is a minus 105, and Oliveira is minus 115. Pretty much even there. They've never played before. Andreev is having a pretty slow start to the season. Oliveira had a pretty solid win against Gertz. I cannot see, for some reason, the result of Andreev's match against... Let me go back onto Flash Score real quick. Sorry, guys. I think they just burned his results. Andreev faced 13 break points against Fukovic and didn't get broken a single time. I'm probably on Oliveira there at minus 115. He's had a pretty couple good solid wins so far. Both of his opponents, not bad at all. I mean, Gertz, I love fading Gertz. I think he's awful. Laxinen is a pretty solid win for Oliveri. And then, how many matches we got left? We are almost done here for the French Open. We got Skatov versus Alves. I wanted to take Alves, but I did not expect him to be minus 210. I thought this was going to be closer to even, but I think they saw what I saw, and Skatov was very physically drained or injured. I think it was his knee. He had a pretty bad knee injury there in the third set. Almost choked it against Virtanen. So I don't think that's really bettable for me. It's minus 3 games. Maybe Alves' money line as a parlay piece. I don't want to trust him with a big spread, because sometimes he kind of serve bots it a little bit, even though he's a good returner. Has a monster forehand. He's very fun to watch when he's on it. Well, maybe partly there. Maybe like, let me see what the odds are on Alves and Honksman parlay. Minus 120. Might be a potential play for me, but favorites are kind of scary in these later rounds. Nava versus, I'm not even try to say his name. Nope. I know it's something weird. I'm going to have to look up how you say that name. They played once last year on hard court, so can't really take that into a big factor. Nava was struggling physically against Brody. That was a very interesting match. We had his money line, which was a very electric win. Nava is a plus 135 dog. Probably a skip for me just because the physical issues that Nava was having there in the third set against Brody. And don't want to take any favorite in that match either. And then now we can go to Lyon, which we got two matches there. We're in the semifinals. We got Nori versus Strundolo and Arthur Fils versus Nakashima. Let me go pull up those matches. Nori and Strundolo just played in Monte Carlo. Strundolo won 6-3, 6-4. But Nori is a minus 145 favorite now in Lyon. They play here last year as well. But I think this is a... I can't say that. Nori won 6-4, 6-4. Not too sure what I'll do there. I'll probably have maybe one or two bets tomorrow. Not liking too many of these bad 250s. Nori should really just be focusing on Roland Garros. Not too sure why he's playing this, but I know a title is a title. Recent form, I'd probably give it to Strundolo, I guess. He just made quarterfinals in Rome. But Nori lost to Djokovic, so not too bad of an L. But Strundolo did beat a struggling center. Then we have Arthur Fils versus Nakashima. Arthur Fils opened at like a minus 175 favorite, which is ridiculous to me. He hasn't done anything this tournament to say that. I mean, he played a Zhang, which is not a too impressive win. He played Yimer, struggled, won 7-6 the first set. Then Yimer put a hole into the umpire chair, got disqualified, and then he got a walkover against FAA. Nakashima played a pretty solid match against Tommy Paul today. Won against Schwartzman and Rindernesh. Over 22.5 games is probably solid there. I can see a tiebreaker or three sets. The over might be in my card tomorrow. But as always, my card will be out a little later than the podcast is. Just kind of think over things and finalize the card. Holy shit. Zverev is only minus 185 against Jerry. I did not expect that. I was hoping to hit like the same line as Casper Ruud and get +4 games. But they know. I mean, I have the same thoughts as the books, I guess, right now. I was hoping to get a +4 on Jerry, but that's pretty much unbettable. I can't lay that much juice on Zverev, and I don't want to fade Jerry in altitude. We got Taylor Fritz versus Grigor Dimitrov. I don't think they've played before. Let me see. They played one time. Taylor Fritz won. It was a clay match in Madrid. Fritz won 7-6, 7-6. I keep recommending overs, but I think that's just what I like a lot tomorrow. Clay overs are usually pretty nice. Over 22.5 games, minus 120 looks pretty solid to me. I see a tiebreaker there, possibly. So, or maybe Fritz to win in over 22.5 games. I don't know. Plus 185, that seems pretty solid. Half unit there or something, I don't know. But we'll figure that out. But I think that's all for me for today's episode. Or, I don't know what you want to call it. I'm new to this recording podcast stuff. Still trying to get comfortable with it, but I feel a lot more comfortable today than I did in the last two episodes. But now we got the podcast up on Spotify and CastBox. I'm working on getting on Apple, but Spotify, it's free to everyone. Just a couple of ads if you don't have premium. Everyone can deal with a couple of ads. But that's all for me, and I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and let's keep crushing Roland Garros.